This is an interview with Professor E. Kingsley Povenmire. Povenmire, Professor of Speech and Drama from 1946 to 1971. This interview is being conducted on August 11th at his home. The interviewer is Michael Milligan for the San Diego Emeritus Faculty Oral History Project, supported by a John and Jane Adams mini-grant.
Wonderful.
All right, Professor Povenmire, you were born in 1904?
That's right.
Where?
Laurelville, Ohio, a town of 425 souls, and a country town. My father was a druggist there.
Uh-huh. What got you interested in speech?
I think it opened up in high school. I took a part in two or three plays, and in fact, it was I was headed for the ministry at one time, and was a student pastor, and. Cut.
Where were you a student pastor?
At the Garrett Biblical Institute, which is the theological sister to Northwestern University.
Northwestern. It was Garrett?
Garrett, G-A-R-R-E-T-T, Biblical Institute. But it is really a theological seminary next to Drew and Union. But that's another matter.
So when what year was this?
That was in 1920s, 26 and 7, or 7 and 8, 7 and 8.
Okay. Where did you go to college?
Ohio State. And
Buckeye,
yes sir, and Yale. I was privileged to get to Yale for a three-year postgraduate degree, Master of Fine Arts.
Mm-hmm. What was Yale like and compared to Ohio State?
Well, my, I've never had that question before. I have to think about it.
Sure.
Yale was established. Ohio State was
So Ohio State was more of a practical learning institution.
Yes.
Where Yale focused more on the scholarly attributes. Okay.
I won't touch that. That's very good.
Okay.
However, Yale, my degree, and everyone who got one, was evidence of the that the theater was aimed at getting raising the standard of the theater production on Broadway,
mm-hmm.
and for writing plays and also all the production elements,
mm-hmm.
acting and directing, so forth.
Mm-hmm. What did you do during the war, World War II?
World War I, I was around.
Yeah, but you weren't old enough to be in the battle, were you?
That's right.
Okay.
No. My essential war service was not in the military, it was in the Armed Services YMCA. I went to
you were a
I was a program secretary of the Armed Services YMCA in San Diego.
Oh,
yeah.
So you were here on the West Coast.
Oh, yes.
That's very good.
Yeah.
That worked out well.
Oh, yes. Well, I was sent, we were allowed to say where we would like to go, but we had to say also that we would go wherever the USO sent us. And I said I would go far west or southwest, and they gave it to me.
How did the Depression affect you, the Great Depression?
I was very, very fortunate that the 3 years from 29, from 30 to 33 that I was at Yale, I missed the direct effect of the Depression, but the Depression was a ghastly experience for anybody who was alive during that time.
Okay. All right, you came to school in the San Diego State in 1946, and you took over for Miss Sybil Eliza Jones?
Well, nobody ever took over for her. she was a wonderful lady, brought down from Santa...
Pasadena Playhouse.
Pasadena Playhouse.
Yeah.
And she and Paul Pfaff were the drama and speech... Radio, they heroically gave students a good solid understanding of experience in the theater and all the branches
mm-hmm.
of the theater.
Okay. You were taught under President Hardy, and under President Love. President
Heppner.
Oh, Heppner too.
Yes, Heppner.
Oh, that's right. It was Hardy. You weren't there with Hardy. It was Heppner and Love.
Yes.
Okay. What do you feel about Heppner?
Oh, yeah, I like him very much, and he is a man of vision, and not only that, he was a practical man who could make his dreams come true,
mm-hmm.
given the resources. And when he was given the chair of the presidency of growing, burgeoning institution, he responded very well.
Mm-hmm. How about President Love?
He brought the school from a struggling
state college
to a major university.
Mm-hmm.
Ohio State had 10,000 people when I went there. We thought it was such a tremendous institution. But when I retired from San Diego State, we had 34,000. And we could have that many again, I think, if we had the money for it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You were hired the same time as Hunton D. Selman?
Selman.
Selman?
That's right.
What can you say about him?
Oh, he knew the theater.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to think that this man doesn't have any other thought than the theater in his life.
Mm-hmm.
He was always thinking about it and always planning for it. He was a solid motivator. An organizer of the theater brought.
What did you guys have any? Or well, I mean, you guys did. Did you have any ties with the Oak Globe during your tenure at San Diego State?
Oh yes. When we all went to the Oak Globe,
mm-hmm.
and I was privileged to teach a course in theater speech there. I'd met once a week, and there was quite a lot of interest in it.
Okay. You, in 1970, 71, you switched from speech to drama. I mean, you'd been in, the verse choir had been in the speech department. Then in 1970, 71, I noticed in the catalog, it's now in drama. Yeah. What was the reason for that?
Well, I always felt that it was a theater department. I'm surprised that
it was in the speech department for so long. Okay. What can you tell me about the National Summer Workshops? The Reader's Theater, Mind Theater?
Oh, Dr. Bill William J. Adams is the one that, developed the Reader's Theater.
What was it for?
Well, it started out as a group of people who just wanted to get better acquainted with a play, and they would sit in a group and read the lines, taking various parts. It was so attractive and so interesting that other people wanted to hear it and listen, so they came, and so there was the audience. And then they found out that after they'd been over the play three or four times, that they knew the lines. So it became a hybrid kind of a thing, with doing the plays with very little scenery, and
so did they use it as an instructor as a tool to take back to their students?
Yes, they did, and you see it.
You know, the thing that I'm sort of bothered by is, why is not the verse choir still in existence at San Diego State? It seems to have left when you left.
Let me speak to that a little bit. Are we still on?
Yeah.
All right. Fine. when I knew I was going to retire, Bill and I talked, Bill Adams. And I said, Bill, when Sybil Eliza Jones gave me the verse choir, she said, you can take it and do anything you want to with it. I hope you don't drop it, but you can build it in any way that it takes off. And my idea of the verse choir was a campus-wide organization, and compared to a
department unit.
And at one time we had 12 departments represented in the verse choir, and the athletes, incidentally, were very strong in it. And, the coach one time said, told me that one of our men was doing the vocal exercises in the shower.
Which coach was this, do you remember?
Yes, that was Coryell. We were great friends. And
so it
to get back to William Adams and Dr. Adams and his Reader's Theater, we both recognized that the verse choir was more closely related to Reader's Theater than to the theater at large, or it appeared to be so. And the times that he developed a verse choir within the Reader's Theater was was proof that he understood it and could have developed taken on where I left off.
Mm-hmm.
And he did for a semester or two, but the Reader's Theater grew so beautifully and made such demands on his time that he had to slack off on the verse choir, and it finally just fell by the wayside. That was within the expectations of. I told him that he could develop it in any way that he wished, as Sybil Eliza had said to me, you can develop it any way that you wish.
Mm-hmm.
And I was all for this democratic way. Mm-hmm. So I did not blame him, certainly, for what was in the cards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I noticed that a lot of the plays that you've written and the performances by the verse choir are spiritual in nature.
Yes.
Is this, I mean, why?
Why? All right. Yeah. I don't know where to put the. Emphasis there. It is easy to find spiritual, to find poetry that leads you into a spiritual experience. It's also good for a verse choir. So, I have to confess that I am a Christian, and therefore the tendency would be to choose poetry of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the play with the Lamb's Players,
yes.
The readings that you did with them.
Yes, I did. They did my play, Command the Morning,
mm-hmm.
And I did. I didn't do any verse choir with them, but I did a whole evening of Negro poetry.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And including the Green Pastures, which is a marvelous story of the Bible. Telling of the story of the Bible.
Yes, I wish I was hoping to get a copy of some of these things that you did, but there isn't any.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the library doesn't have any.
Incidentally, there are some tapes in the library.
I got Sounds Across America.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's the choir.
The Crucifixion.
Oh, yes. That's a powerful thing. That's the most
Yeah, I want to play this. There's certain questions I want to ask you about this. Is that all right?
Fine.
Let me stop. Who is the woman singing? Do you remember?
No, I don't.
Because it's not on the tape. And
it's too bad.
It is, because this woman is just totally a beautiful voice.
Oh, yes, I do remember. Oh, very well. Deanne, not Deanne. Little is your last name, L-I-T-T-L-E. Excuse me.
Sure.
Dear black man.
Yes.
Who defied the people who said that who wanted to assign all Negroes to labor, and he was a brilliant person, a fine Christian man, and
was he a student? Was he a student?
Oh, yes.
Vivian Little was a student at San Diego State?
Oh, yes.
Holy smokes.
Good. I'm good. Yeah.
I've seen his stuff.
Wow. He got a Tony in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. One time my wife said, Cleavon, you've got greatness in you. And instead of scuffing his toe in the dust and saying, oh, shucks, he said, yes, I believe I have.
Good for him.
When I thought that was, took more courage than to deny it.
I think so. I mean, he's fighting a system.
That's right.
You know, that's great. This is
And he finally has a very good part in a motion picture.
Mm-hmm.
Right as of now.
That's right. I'm trying to think where he's in. Where did I see him in? Raisin in the Sun? No. I'll have to go look myself, you know. Wow, I didn't know that. This, the Boy Scout.
Sorrow is in my soul, even unto death.
Is this you?
Tarry here a little while and watch with me.
No, that's what it is.
Jesus, my friend.
Oh, I guess it is.
Jesus, praying in the dark of the Garden of Gethsemane, saying,
Father, oh Father, this bitter cup, let it pass.
Now, when this is being performed, is there a background of any kind? Because when I see in the verse choir, they would have a background that would sort of also go along with what they're reading in terms of a prop.
Sometimes we did, but primarily it was to come, stand where they told you to, and you're just a part of the program.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like an orchestra?
Yes, yes, that's right. It was a supportive kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested, can we...
Yeah, sure.
My sorrow is deep, and my drops of blood upon the ground, talking with his father while the three disciples slept, saying,
Father, oh, Father, not as I will. Not as I will, but let thy will be done.
Oh, look at black-hearted Judas, changing through the dark of the garden, leading his crucifying mob. Oh, God, strike him down. Why don't you strike?
this man I find no fault. I find no fault in him. And Pilate
find it interesting that you have the women voicing Pilate's Pilate instead of the men.
Oh. We're not after gender, sex. We're after a quality. We're after a personality of the voice. The dark. We have light, medium, dark voices,
mm-hmm.
and the dark voices tend to give you stability and strength,
mm-hmm.
and the light voices will do better as even Pilate,
mm-hmm.
because not because women are vacillating as Pilate was, but because they're not the heavy, strong, substantial voices of the dark.
You know, the interesting thing you can talk about, I mean, or analyze with that is with Pilate, he was probably in a great moment of indecision.
Yeah, that's right.
And then that voice gives you that.
That's right.
Concept that he's wavering. What should I do? I know this man is innocent, but I must crucify him or face insurrection from the Jews.
That's right. That's right. You've done your homework.
I don't know. As I'm talking, I'm understanding more.
D-E-E-T-A.
And her last name was?
Dieta Little.
Power.
Sometimes it causes me to
Did she ever go on to sing professionally, do you know?
She went up to Hollywood and married a minister, and they I'd sure would like to take that choir and do something with it. And I would like to take the soloist and do something with him too, because I was in a pretty speech. Pretty.
Mm-hmm.
And it missed the depth of meaning and feeling.
I like the combination here of her singing and the voice choir is just over her.
Yeah.
It just gives more of an emotion.
That's right.
It's really well done. Did you write this?
Oh no. This is one of the folk sermons. That's all right.
My God, why
very bad.
Oh, God's trombone.
Yeah.
When he hung his head.